The year is new. The day is new. The moment is new. What will we do with them? What might they make of us? What can be born in this time? Good morning. Welcome to a united church. Four congregations gathering in unity to seek God's wisdom and discover God's love. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, pastor of First Congregational Church of Natick, with my colleagues from Edwards Church and Plymouth Church, both in Framingham, and Elliott Church in Natick. Each of these congregations is unique, and there's way more that we hold in common, including that we are all open and affirming congregations, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Amen. We gather this morning in celebration of that spirit that unites us, as well as in the conviction that we need each other, and the world needs us to work together in order to bring God's vision of justice, compassion, and peace to the world. This morning, we are celebrating Epiphany together, the story of the wise ones making their way to a young Jesus and his parents, and the political power that threatened them all. We hear this story from long ago and far away in the context of a crisis that is very here and now. Other families fleeing their homes around the world because of violence, extreme poverty, and climate change, and arriving on our very doorstep needing our help. Our guest preacher, Reverend Matthew Crane, will guide us on this journey. Matt is the executive director of Hospitality Common, Inc. HCI offers ESL classes and a weekly dinner in Framingham and is in the process of buying a home to provide transitional housing for refugees. What they really do is live out the belief that every human being is made in the image of God and therefore is to be cherished and treated with the greatest dignity. Those in person are invited to coffee and conversation downstairs in the vestry following worship. We'll have a little time to chat together, and then we'll gather with Matt for further conversation about HCI and the work that they do. This morning, both in person and online, we gather together in a sacred feast, the Sacrament of Communion. In the sanctuary, you will be invited to come forward for gluten-free bread and grape juice. And we'll also come serve in the pews, those who prefer to stay there. Folks at home, I invite you to have a bit of food and drink ready for that part of the service. And now, as four churches come together as one, I invite you to settle yourself into this time and place, taking a deep breath, drawing in the spirit of the living God, who is with us in this moment and in every moment. May the light of the Christ candle be always a beacon of hope for those on the journey, a promise of companionship and compassion. Please join me in the call to worship in your bulletin and on the screen. O come, Emmanuel, and bless this house. Come, all churches united in Christ, Edwards, Elliott, First Congregational, and Plymouth. Come, all peoples, travelers with heavy baggage, question bringers with boundless curiosity. Come, to meet the child, for your fears find comfort, for your doubts find courage, for your longing find purpose, for your hunger find bread and a cup. Come, beloved, and know you are welcome, and a place has been prepared for you. Come, and remember, God is with us now. Amen. Our opening hymn is Arise, Your Light Is Come. You are invited to arise in body or in spirit.
Arise, your light is come. The act of confessing our sin is not just a list of all the things that we have done wrong. I lost my temper. I ignored a stranger. I said mean things about a person behind their back. Confession is also an opportunity to be forgiven, to receive God's grace. None of those things are enough for us to lose the love of God. None are enough to break the strength of the bond that God has with us. Now, it is my unfortunate news, as the pastor of the Plymouth Church, I don't know why this was given to me, but I have to share with you some difficult news. None of us here is perfect. I know for some of you that's really news. None of us here is all-knowing. None of us here is all-gracious. None of us are always kind. Because, beloved, we are not God. But you know who is? God. And God loves us. And God wants us back. Will you join me in a prayer that is full of confessions? Will you join me in believing that grace and healing are on the other side of this prayer? Beloved, join me in prayer. Holy God, we confess that we fear what is unfamiliar. It is easier to lock our doors than to welcome someone who doesn't look like we look, who doesn't communicate in our language, who doesn't conform to this tradition. We confess that we do not share this abundance. We do not love unconditionally. Turn us around. Lead us to a more compassionate way of life. Inspire us. Give us the courage to change. Send us the energy, intelligence, imagination, and love to be your people in all we confess and do. Let our prayers continue in a moment of quiet contemplation. Beloved, there is nothing you can do in this mortal life that God cannot meet or repair. There is no distance you can travel on this earth that God is not already there waiting for you. You cannot earn the love of God. You cannot escape the love of God. Beloved, your sins are forgiven and your life is renewed. This is the power of God's love and judgment. Amen and amen. When Jesus offered the disciples peace, it was meant first as a reassurance. Let calm and serenity fall on you. There was also another layer. The Hebrew word of peace has deeper and wider meaning, something closer to wholeness, to connection, to being part of something beyond ourselves, wider than our personal fears and needs. Today we are four churches worshiping, uniting together. We are participating in an ancient Christian discipline of reaching out to our neighbor in order to draw them in, to lift them up, to be drawn in, to be lifted up. This morning, we invite you to share a word of Christ's peace with those who are nearest to you and with at least three people you do not know. And let the peace of Christ fall upon us and the wholeness of the Messiah well up from within us. The peace of Christ be with you.
I'm Sarah Lynn Keller, the Director of Spiritual Vitality here at First Congregational Church of Natick. I invite people of all ages to lean in for the word for all ages. Happy New Year! I bet you heard that a lot this last week, that same greeting over and over again, no matter where you went, and you may have returned the greeting to others. We may not even realize now that what we are doing is blessing, passing a blessing to one another, wishing a good year on one another. What a nice idea. Today, we are celebrating Epiphany, and our church has a tradition on Epiphany of blessing the house. This is a Christian tradition that goes back many, many years, centuries even. We remember that three kings who followed a star to find a baby king with his parents, Mary and Joseph. And after the kings are threatened by King Herod, they warn Joseph to take Mary and Jesus to safety in Egypt. We all know this story. Tradition has it that the three kings were Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. And they, so with the initials CMB, which also matches a Latin prayer, Christus mentionem benedicat, which means may Christ bless this dwelling. And so we mark the doorway of the house. I'm going to go over there and do it in a moment. That we want to bless like this. It's the numbers 20 plus a C plus an M plus B plus 25. It's the year, right? It's the year. 2025 surrounded, or, you know, surrounds that blessing. Christus mentionem benedicat. So this morning we will mark the door in our sanctuary, and you may each take some chalk home with a blessing, too. We're going to pass these out during the last hymn. So every family can take one home and mark your house as well. You want to bless your home in this, if you want to do this in the same way. And you can do it at your church, too. But before we bless the house this morning, I want to acknowledge, Cindy already brought it up in her welcome, that there are men, women, and children all over the world who don't have a house to bless today. They may be fleeing violence and poverty and hunger while they're seeking shelter, freedom, and liberty. And so I ask that when you bless your house today, that you spare a thought for those people who are in temporary shelter, and ask for a blessing on them as well. So I give you this greeting, and you're going to respond with the yellow that you see in front of you. So blessed be to this house and all who enter here, and peace to the houses of worship of the Elliott Church, Edwards Church, Plymouth Church, and all who enter there. All right.
So Sarah Lynn's going to head over and bless the doorway of the sanctuary of FCC Natick. And as she does so, we're imagining all of our doorways be blessed. So we're going to say the blessing together that is in your bulletin as well as on the screen. Please join me. Oh God, over 2,000 years ago, the three magi, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, followed the star to the place where Jesus was born. May the star that you set to shine over Bethlehem shine now over us. Bless this place and all who come to worship within its walls, that your love may be our inspiration, your wisdom our guide, your truth our light, and your peace our strength. Watch over our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The kids are going to stay with us for just a little bit longer. Our guest this morning, Matt, is going to come up and share the scripture passage with us. And after that, all young people are invited to join us for Sunday school this morning. But first, Matt will share our scripture reading with us.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine.
Like,
I'm good.
Somehow, I think you grew a foot since the last time.
Oh, no.
I'm
no,
just teasing. Good. And you can move this, too, as much
okay.
as you
need. Okay, thank you. Good morning. I will be reading the gospel text this morning is Matthew chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 1. Actually, the bulletin says 1 through 12. I'll actually be reading. Okay. I'm actually going to read the whole gospel of Matthew, so just. Just kidding. So I hope you're comfortable. Okay. The visit of the wise men, the gospel of the Lord according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." The Gospel of our Lord. I invite you to join me in a prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I probably should start by introducing myself. I know I've been introduced. My name is Matthew Crane. I go by Matt. And I currently serve as, has been mentioned, as executive director of Hospitality Common, Incorporated. We're a faith-based Christian nonprofit. Our roots go back to 2017. We actually began when a conversation with three people happened in the fellowship hall at the Presbyterian Church in Sudbury, right up the road. And so be careful what happens in your conversations in your fellowship halls. But there was a group of three. I happened to be part of that. Those three, where there was a real interest to how could we better care for refugees. And I should say right off the bat, I'm no expert. Now, I've been invited, and I thank you. I want to say thank you to the churches, to the pastors for inviting me. But to be clear, I'm not an expert by any stretch on the refugee experience. I'm simply a person for the past 3.5 years that has entered into that world. And so I've learned a lot. I've been an active learner, but I am by no means an expert. There are many people here in Metro West who know much more about the refugee experience, the immigrant experience, than I do. In fact, people I work with, I just will mention to you one of the gentlemen that I work with who's on our board. His name is Gary Moorhead. I've known him actually since he was one of the other three in that room. At the Presbyterian Church in Sudbury. He spent 7 years living in Afghanistan in the early 2000s, And he was actually part of a group that was helping Afghan refugees who were in other parts of the world come back to Afghanistan to rebuild their homes. And so he actually came back to this country. He actually had to leave Afghanistan. This is about 2008, if you remember the history, because of the violence there, particularly as a Westerner. They came back to the U.S. for their own safety. But he came back with a vision to establish a place of welcome, places of welcome for refugees returning here or coming here to the United States. And his idea, it was a niche idea, was to have homes, individual homes, where refugees could come and have a soft landing. Because often what happens, if you know a little bit about the refugee or immigrant world, oftentimes, and even right here in Metro West, they end up in motels, don't have family, and sometimes substandard. His idea was to come and actually have homes where they could come, live in community, like with a host family or a host couple, and have that kind of soft landing where they could, over 3 months to 9 months, kind of get their feet underneath them, look for work, learn the language, et cetera. It's a beautiful vision. So, and how this happened, this isn't even part of the sermon. I don't know, I'm just going on a tangent here. But it seems appropriate at the moment. I was part of the Presbyterian, I spent 9 years there. I was their director of Christian Ed from, 9 years. And I was part of their interfaith clergy group in Sudbury. And they wanted to, because of the previous administration, which is now the new administration, and the concern for how we care for refugees, particularly coming across our southern border, immigrants, refugees, documented, undocumented, how do we care for them? And so our interfaith group wanted to, how could this group of clergy be involved? How could they help? And it kind of, I think, the impetus a little bit for even inviting me here this morning. And so I knew a group in Boston that did this. I invited a friend, or I talked to a friend. They had a person. I didn't even know Gary, but he came out, and he actually brought a friend from, I believe, Somalia, who actually talked about his own experience and with the clergy group. And I listened to his story. And so he went on to talk about this vision he had of establishing a home or homes for refugees to come. And I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever heard. He kind of couched it in the refugee experience we see in the scripture, the story of the Magi, the story of Abraham and Sarah, and the three, we're not quite sure who they are, but angels or a manifestation of the Lord who appear at the tree of, what is the tree? What is the, does anybody remember? The three visitors, someone here must know who I'm talking. What is it? Oaks of Monterey, yes. So these three visitors who showed up, he couched this vision kind of in that kind of theological concept. I was blown away by it. I thought it was the coolest thing. I didn't think much about it at the time, but when I left, back at the Presbyterian Church in Sudbury, there was a woman named Aileen Gardner who had been talking to me about, she was completely committed, wanted to be involved in the lives of helping refugees, immigrants, asylees. And she came up and she was constantly talking to me, and I was trying to connect her with people. But then she spoke to me again, and I thought, well, you know what, it'd be kind of cool if we got Aileen together with Gary and just had a conversation and see what sparked. That was the conversation we had in the fellowship hall in 2017. And I was just telling some of the pastors here that, so we've been teaching ESL, we've been teaching English language for the last 3.5 years. We've been dealing with food security for all the students in our program and their parents, their families. We provide them meals once a week. So in the past 3.5 years, we've taught English to over 350 immigrants, asylees, refugees, and provide over 4,000 meals to the families. But a big part of our vision, too, is to establish this home. And I was just telling the pastors that, I think a few of you might get the newsletter. I know Debbie and I think Cindy gets it. It's been an ordeal. We actually have a family, a woman in Framingham, who has been wanting to give us, not give, but sell us her home. And so we've been working with her for over a year, but there's been issues with the tenants. She's been renting the place to tenants, and it has been quite the journey. But it looks like today, maybe even now, the Spirit leading, even right now, they're supposed to hand over the keys today so that we might be able to take the next steps. Yes, we can. I don't know if you say amen here, but you can say amen. So this is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. We'll see. But that vision of establishing a soft landing, a hospitable place for refugees, asylees, immigrants to come. That, yes, amen. So that has been the focus of what we do. And the text today is, well, let me back up. The epiphany, epiphany is from the Greek word epiphania, which means manifestation. And this journey that the Magi were on, the text that I read, there are all kinds of journeys happening in that text. In fact, if you look at Matthew chapter 2, we're talking four different literal journeys. The Magi journey from the east to pay homage. They then journey back, but they journey back by a different road because they're tapped into God through their own faith, and they go back a different road. Joseph and the Holy Family then travel down to Egypt to flee Herod. Later in chapter 2, they return after Herod's death. I chose for the sermon title today, Joy, Pain, and the Light That Goes On. That's the title. And the reason I did that is I see that in the gospel text. You know, Pastor Morrissey was just talking to me before the sermon. He was talking about all the fires that are going on in the world right now. And it can be overwhelming, all the fires that are going on in our world. The plight of refugees is just one among many. I chose joy, pain, and light because for the last 3.5 years, those are the clear takeaways from my experience. Those are the clear takeaways from my experience. Joy, pain, and light. And pain is really understating it. It's actually trauma, and it's worse than trauma. It's brutality. And the part of the text today that was not read, the part that happens in between the Magi going back east and the Joseph fleeing to Egypt, the part that happens in between is Herod's paranoid decree that all of the babies or children 2 years of age and younger in Bethlehem or in that area be put to death, be put to the sword. Scholars debate actually whether that actually happened. I have happened to study a little bit about the life of Herod. I believe it did happen. If you study the life of Herod, and we know a lot more about Herod, not from the Bible, but from the Roman and Jewish histories and records. And particularly, he ruled from 37 to 4 BC. And the last 5 to 10 years of his life, he became increasingly paranoid and put many members of his own family to death because he suspected them of trying to get his throne. So it is entirely consistent that we don't have any record of it other than what's in the Bible. It is entirely consistent with what we know of Herod that this took place. It is brutal. We don't talk about this. We don't include this in the Christmas story for very good reason. It is brutal. But that's also the experience that refugees and asylees and immigrants have. And I'm no expert, but I've been in their lives. I've been teaching them English. I've listened to their stories. And there's a lot of pain, but there's a lot of joy. I've met 350 or more these past few years. Of 350, I can think of two that actually challenged me, that were anything, all of them, gentle. These are gentle, beautiful people, kind. There's only two out of 350 I could think that really gave me a problem. And one of them, he was just kind of a smart aleck. And actually, he was in one of my classes, and I actually, half the time, I thought he was kind of funny, but, you know, kind of a smart alecky. And the other fella, he was a little shady, but, you know, there was a time when I caught him being a little shady, and I was, you know, in my, the opposite of spirit, in my flesh, I was like, you know, I'm going to set this guy straight. But I said, no. I mean, I have no idea what his experience was, that, you know, what kind of trauma he was experiencing with. So I was like, I just bit my tongue and just continued to love him, support him. And by the end of the semester, he stayed the whole semester. Oftentimes they don't. He stayed the whole semester. And his, it wasn't any kind of a dramatic change, but he was engaged, and I could tell that he was grateful for our work with him. But everyone else, and even those two, really, gentle, kind, hopeful, beautiful, the human spirit. And then, so there's so much, there is pain, and there's a lot of it, and trauma, and brutality. But there's a lot of hope, there's a lot of goodness, the strength of the human spirit, the grace of God, and that's the other part, the light. When I say the light that goes on, I am referring specifically about faith in God, whether that's Christian faith, Muslim faith, other faith. Those are the two primarily that we encounter or that we have in our groups. But faith, there is, and just like the faith of those magi, that they heard their faith, they were tapped into God. And they heard in their vision to go back a different road because they were tapped in to that which is above the physical, that metaphysical, our relationship with God. Joseph had that dream and he said, we're going to go to Egypt to flee, and then we're going to come back because he was tapped into God. What I have found, the joy, the pain, and the light that goes on, is that so many of the people that we deal with, refugees, asylees, immigrants, documented, undocumented, have a vibrant, powerful, profound faith, a real faith, a life-giving faith. You know, sometimes we lament the condition of the church, the rise of the nuns and all these things. We do our programming, you may know, it's in Framingham at the Greater Framingham Community Church, a black church right in the center. They have been the best friends to us, Reverend Anthony Lloyd. They have been opened their doors. We've been with them for the whole 3.5 years. I've done this. In fact, if you really want to know the refugee experience, if you want to get to know the churches, because if I stand in the parking lot at the Greater Framingham Community Church, and if I go out and do a radius of 1 mile all the way around, right, there are at least, and this is, I am understating it, at least 30 churches, at least that many, within 300 feet. I mean, I stop by them when we're passing out flyers. I visit these churches. I've met the pastors. Within 600 feet, there are 6 churches. 600 feet. They're everywhere, but we don't measure them. We don't count them because they're immigrant churches, but they're everywhere. I mean, if you just drive up Route 20 now from Sudbury, you just go to Route 20 to Marlboro, where the subway is, you got to know where the subway is, right across from the Home Depot Target. There are 2 immigrant churches, I believe they're both Spanish-speaking, right in that little strip mall where the subway is. I think you know where that is, Pastor Tierney? The light and the vitality, the vibrancy, pain, a lot of trauma, but a lot of hope, a lot of gentleness, a lot of faith, a lot of light. And I'll tell you about a person I'm going to meet tomorrow night. Be my last thought here. His name's Keir. I haven't even met him yet. I got a call from, he's a refugee from Sudan. I got a call from a friend of a friend. Actually, it was the son of Aileen Gardner, who was a woman I met with. Her son runs a series of sober houses in Lexington. He called me about a month ago. We'd never had spoken before. He had a person in his sober house, 6 months sober, from Sudan, who is blind. He was blinded, and that went by acid. And I don't know that was what type of the persecution, whether religious or whatever it was, but he escaped Sudan, came to this country in the refugee program, which is, if we have the conversation later, we can get into, I'm not going to get into it now, but the details about, you know, what makes a refugee, an asylee document, and, you know, there's all these different categories. But he came as part of the refugee program. And so you get a little bit of money. But it also means if you're in a refugee program, sometimes people think that's actually a good thing, but that means your past experience is probably especially brutal. And, but he came here, he found a family that essentially adopted him. So his needs are largely taken care of, but he's looking to work. He's 32 years old, speaks good English, almost fluent English, and he's looking for an opportunity to work, to find meaning. And so Paul called me and asked, is there any opportunity for Keir to volunteer with Hospitality Common? And we actually met with a couple of different people, and I've been thinking about it, and so we're gonna actually, he's gonna come, I'm gonna meet him for the first time tomorrow night, because we have a Jan term. Like we basically follow an academic calendar, and so we have a fall semester, spring semester. We do a little Jan term right in the middle, 4 weeks for January, where we learn a theme. So the theme for this semester, and by the way, if anybody ever wants to volunteer, come talk to me. If you want to, even if you haven't taught ESL, if you haven't taught English, as long as you can speak English and you're somewhat expressive, we can figure it out. But we do a four-week Jan term, and we're going to starts tomorrow night, goes for 4 weeks, end of January, and Keir's going to show up. And we're going to see if we can figure out, maybe even, we don't even know how we're going to do it, but we're going to see if we can plug him in and give him that sense of self-worth, doing volunteering, doing work, maybe even teaching ESL. We have to figure out how this is possible, if it is, but I think we can figure out something. But Keir is a person who obviously has suffered brutality. He is a person who has a strong human spirit. Paul speaks, even, you know, alcoholism has been part of his, you know, coping, but he has this strong human spirit, this strong spirit that keeps him going, that wants, is encouraging him to help, to contribute, to be a part. And so, and he also, according to Paul, is a gentle spirit, a beautiful spirit. So there you go. Tomorrow night, we're going to meet him. We're going to see if we can plug him in. Last thought, this is the one, and I actually coincidentally shared the scripture in we did a Christmas newsletter. And by the way, if anyone wants to be on our newsletter, come see me for that too. So, but John chapter 1, verse 5. Because I see this in that light, in the faith of so many of the refugees we work with, so many of the asylees, the immigrants we work with. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So whatever the fires that we experience, I know I celebrate the proclamation you made at the beginning of the service, Cindy, that this is an open and affirming church, and that people clapped. So whatever our fires may be, whatever the strife and the struggle and the hardships we face, the light goes on, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt.
It was thousands of years ago that Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt with Jesus to escape Herod's violence, as Matt was just talking about. But the world still has its Herods, leaders, groups, and systems that threaten the very existence of babies, families, the beloved children of God. Some arrive here, right in our neighborhood, vulnerable, traumatized, afraid. Hospitality Common, Inc. does holy work as it helps those contemporary Josephs, Marys, and Jesuses find their way in this foreign land. So today's offering will go to Hospitality Common, Inc. so that we can be part of that holy work. If you brought a pledge payment for your local congregation, I invite you to find your relevant lay leader to give it to, or just hold it till next Sunday. There's also information in the bulletin about giving online to HCI. As we pass the offering plate from one to another, may we see in it the faces of the beloved children of God who need our compassion and support. And as the offering happens, we also will welcome back our kids so they can join us for communion. The offering will be received, and our lives are represented in the giving. God bless these hearts, God bless these gifts, the hearts that have given them, and the hearts that will be touched. Amen. You may be seated.
Come. Oh, come, travelers all, you who carry heavy loads, and you who have no possessions to carry, you who seek inspiration and purpose, and you who seek safety for your children.
Come, O come, this meal is for you, to nourish your body and spirit, to give you strength for the journey. And this meal is not just for you, So share it with a stranger on the road. Bake some more and expand the feast.
Come. Oh, come to this table, wide enough for all who are hungry, narrow enough that we can sit face to face, miraculous enough to change our hearts and our world. Come, oh come, share in Christ's feast of abundance.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, glorious God, for your creation, a web of life intricately interconnected, for plants and sea creatures, animals, including human, who journey on this planet, for ancient stories of our faith that teach us to honor our connectedness, for prophets who call us to share for strangers and travelers, for magi and refugees who risked the road, for creative innkeepers and Bedouins with open tent doors, for each person who has traveled to Massachusetts in search of hope and safety, for the opportunity to give and receive, learn and teach together. We give you thanks, glorious God, for Jesus, for his birth and the assurance that you dwell among us, for his teachings and the challenge that challenge and comfort us, for his healing spirit within and among us, for his courage in facing death, for his resurrection and the promise of new life, for the assurance that he travels with us on our journeys. We give you thanks, glorious God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, poured out upon the disciples at Pentecost, poured out upon these, your disciples, today.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this bread. Bless this fruit of the vine. Bless us that our eyes and our hearts may be open to your presence in the bread and cup, in our gathering together, in each person we encounter on our journeys.
Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, also after supper, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant poured out for you. As often as you drink it, remember me." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We invite you to come forward to receive a piece of gluten-free bread, and we invite you, if you would like, to dip it in the cup, and if you prefer to stay in your pews, we will come to you. Come, for all things are now ready.
We give you thanks, God of abundance, for bread and cup to refresh us on the way, for new friends who enrich our journey, for the promise that there is enough for everyone, for your challenge to open our hands and our hearts. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, who calls us to the table, who teaches us to pray this prayer.
Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power of glory.
So we're going to have to work out debts and trespasses if we're going to do this again. Check. There's a lot we agree on. I don't know, that might be what makes it all unravel. Our closing hymn is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Jesus the Light of the World. Not the Christmas carol. Don't even bother getting out your hymnal. This is an Epiphany hymn. Unfortunately, the lyrics in the bulletin are the Christmas carol because that's the hymn number I gave to our admin, but they are correct on the slides, which is good because then your hands will be free as the kids come around and give you the little house blessing kit as we sing. So we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Jesus the Light of the World. The words are on the slides. You are welcome to rise in body or in spirit.
I'm going to take a moment before I give the benediction to say thank you one more time to the four churches gathered here and to the pastors. Also, my sincere gratitude for the offering that is being given to our work at Hospitality Commons. So thank you very much. And I just want to take a moment to do it by name. There, I know there are a lot of churches, a lot of pastors, but I want to say thank you to the Edwards Church. to the Elliott Church of Natick, to First Congregational Church here in Natick, to the Plymouth Church in Framingham, and to the pastors, to Reverend Clark, to Reverend Morrissey, to Reverend Worthington Berry, and to Reverend Tierney. Thank you. And thank you to all the people for having me, for inviting me, and for contributing to our work. The full sweep of Matthew chapter 2, a lot of pain, a lot of joy, a lot of faith. And I imagine that's true for your lives too. Only you know what's going on in your own life, but I imagine there's pain, there's joy, and by the grace of God, a lot of faith. And I'll leave you with that last scripture from John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the dark, and this is the truth. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not and will not overcome it. God be with you.